If you dig the twisted, admire the outlandish, and are enamored by the unusual, you're in the right place. True crime, the supernatural, the unexplained, now you're speaking our language. If you agree, join us as we dive into the darker side. You know, because it's more fun over here. Welcome to Total Conundrum.
Warning, some listeners may find the following content disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, Conundrum crew, to another intriguing episode of Total Conundrum. Today, we're diving into the realm of mysterious tales that have haunted our imaginations for generations, urban legends.
Ooh, this is gonna be good. Urban legends have this unique way of blending folklore with modern life.
Absolutely, Jeremy. And they're like modern-day fairy tales with a twist of terror.
And they always seem to start with something innocent, like a babysitter receiving a creepy phone call.
Yep, true. But then they take these unexpected bone-chilling turns, like the calls are coming from inside the house.
Classic. Or what about the one where you can summon a ghostly hitchhiker by picking them up on a desolate road?
Ah, the vanishing hitchhiker. You'd think folks would learn not to pick up strangers in the middle of nowhere.
But curiosity gets the best of us, doesn't it? Speaking of which, how about Bloody Mary?
Ah, the bathroom mirror ritual. It's like a teenage rite of passage into the world of horror.
Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
Don't do it.
I remember trying it at a sleepover. We all screamed and ran out of the bathroom, convinced we seen her face.
All right, come on now. I think you're telling tall tales now. But the power of suggestion is a mighty thing. And let's not forget about the creepypasta tales. Slender Man, anyone?
Slender Man is the boogeyman for the internet age. The idea of a faceless, towering figure is truly nightmare-inducing.
You're right, Jeremy. Urban legends have this way of tapping into our deepest fears and our primal instincts.
And they persist through generations, evolving with each retelling.
Well, you know what they say, Jeremy. Legends never die. They just keep getting scarier.
So listeners, get ready for a spine-tingling journey into the world of urban legends. We've got some hair-raising stories to share with you today.
And Jeremy promises not to scream like a girl this time.
Ah! Hey! I've got nerves of steel.
We'll see about that. Stay tuned, folks, for tales that'll make your skin crawl.
But before we dive in, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to give us a thumbs up if you enjoyed this episode.
That's right, Jeremy. Also, a rating and review would mean the world to us if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Plus, drop us a line if you've got a spooky story or a chilling mystery you want us to dive into. We'd love to hear from you.
In the last few episodes, we discussed collaborating with a few different podcasts and how we will be sharing their amazing trailers with all of you in future episodes. So make sure you continue to show them some love as well.
Before we shock you with our episode of Cautionary Tales, we will be playing a trailer that was shared with us. Hauntscast, thank you, Courtney, for collaborating with us. Everyone, go check out her podcast and show her the love and support that you show us. We have binged her podcast and she is absolutely amazing. We have a crossover episode scheduled with Courtney in November and we could not be more excited. Enjoy listening to the trailer from our friend Courtney at Hauntscast now.
Go Courtney with Hauntscast. Listen up, folks.
Everybody loves a good ghost story. From the renowned haunting of the Amityville Horror House, to the lesser-known curse of the Bassano vase. Legends of the ghostly and macabre have been fascinating and frightening us for centuries. But have you ever wondered if there's any truth behind the lore? Over the last 8 years that I've spent as a paranormal researcher, I have constantly asked one important question. Is this a hoax, or could it truly be a haunt? I'm Courtney Hayes, host of the podcast Haunts, where every week I dissect another ghostly legend in an effort to find the truth that lies within. Listen to Haunts for free on your favorite podcasting app and help me to unveil the unknown.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you today?
Good, Tracy. How are you?
I'd be better if we didn't get dumped on by Mother Nature and all of the rain last night.
Yeah, all the work that I did. Now I have to redo it.
Yeah, as we've been talking about, we're creating a haunted walkthrough, haunted maze type thing for the community. And we have a bunch of like pop-up tents, canopy things or whatever. We have them all tethered together. There's what, probably 12, 16 of them, something like that.
There's a lot.
And we had a bunch of animatronics out underneath them because normally they're fine. But Jeremy was working on putting the canvas up to create the maze. And we literally, I think probably somebody said we got around 3 to 4 inches of rain last night. So we stayed up going out and we had to keep pushing the water off of these canopies because we were sitting in the garage working on our stories for our next recording and we heard a loud crash. One of our brand new canopies crumbled to the ground.
Crumbled under the weight. And of course, the water is cold because, you know, we're now into the end of September here and we live in Minnesota.
Yeah, so it can be 100 one day and 30 the next. And
yeah, so the water was cold.
Very cold. We were soaked. And we had to go through and pick up a bunch of animatronics. Some fell. We had a couple casualties now that we're going to have to fix. Some of them were underneath the canopy that crumbled. It's a mess out there, folks.
Yeah, it is.
But we're drier tonight. It is raining again, but not as bad as last night. So,
and we're recording.
And we are. This will be our first episode of October.
Ooh.
So the start of the spooky season.
So what you got for us, Tracy?
I am going to be telling you about urban legends.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What? So I'm going to kind of go into a few different ones. And I kind of did this off of our generation. So these are mostly Gen X urban legends. And then I'll kind of go into comparing some Gen Z and millennial and even the boomers as well. So are you ready for some spooky urban legends?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. These urban legends, among many others, captivated the imagination of Generation X, adding an element of excitement, fear, and caution to their lives. While some were purely fictional tales, others were based on real-life fears and served as cautionary tales about personal safety. These legends have continued to evolve and adapt with each new generation, captivating and entertaining audiences while reflecting the anxieties and the fears respective times. So have you ever heard the urban legend of the babysitter and the man upstairs?
I have not.
You have not?
I have not.
Ooh, you are in for a treat.
Really?
Did you babysit at all when you were growing up?
No.
No?
No.
Probably more of a girl thing. I babysat all the time. The urban legend of the babysitter and the man upstairs has been a popular tale passed down through generations, often shared as a cautionary tale to warn young babysitters about the potential dangers they may face while they're on the job. The story typically goes as follows. Once upon a time, in a quiet suburban neighborhood, a young teenager eagerly took on a babysitting job.
Once upon a time, is this a fairy tale or what?
Well, just adding some flair to it.
You're silly.
I am silly sometimes. So she eagerly took this babysitting job for a family she'd never met before. The parents were going out for the evening, leaving the children in the care of the responsible young girl. As the night went on, the babysitter settled the children down for bed and made herself comfortable in the living room. The house seemed peaceful, and she took solace in the silence. Shortly after midnight, the phone rang. Startling the babysitter, she picked it up and heard a deep, raspy voice on the other end of the line. The voice asked in a chilling tone, "Have you checked on the children?"
"No, and I'm not going to. You're creepy."
Feeling unnerved, she assumed it was a prank call and brushed it off. But as the night progressed, the calls continued, always with the same question.
Dun, 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 dun.
"Have you checked on the children?"
"Still no."
Growing more anxious, the babysitter decided to contact the police. The operator advised her to stay on the line while they traced the call, assuring her that everything would be fine. After a few minutes, the police returned with a horrifying revelation.
"What?"
"The calls were coming from inside the house."
"Ah!"
They urged the babysitter to leave the premises immediately and assured her that they were on their way. Terrified, she followed their instructions and rushed out of the house. As she reached the front porch, she noticed a shadowy figure lurking in the upstairs window. It was the man from the phone calls watching her intently.
Ooh.
The police arrived swiftly, entering the house to apprehend the intruder. What they discovered sent chills down their spines. Upstairs, they found the lifeless bodies of the children. The man had been inside the house all along, waiting for the right moment to strike.
What a creepy mofo.
Right? See, now for me, I probably would have ran upstairs to grab the kids to get them outside
not
to
me.
Safety,
I'd
too.
Like, "Hell no, I'm out of here."
So I probably would have been laying there dead and lifeless.
You don't pay me enough for this shit.
But I probably would have gone up to check on the kids as well. Or, I don't know, I guess I can't say because that's pretty scary when you're babysitting.
Yeah.
So while the babysitter and the man upstairs is a fictional story and it taps into the fears of anxieties surrounding the vulnerability of those in caretaking roles and the notion that danger can be closer than one might think, it serves as a reminder to always be cautious and aware of one's surroundings, even in seemingly safe environments.
Oh, man, I'm petrified now. I mean, you hear my heart?
Boom, boom, boom. I can hear it all the way over here. That's pretty loud.
It's going crazy.
So there has been a couple movies made. Have you seen any of those movies?
I don't think so.
Okay, they're kind of based on the same thing. And I think one might even be called The Man Upstairs. I can't remember for sure. It's been a while since I've seen them. Or it might have even been Don't Pick Up the Phone.
Don't Pick Up the Phone.
Which is similar to the title of the story that we just told.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Well, I know you know this one because you've tormented me with this one.
Is this the...
The Hook Man.
Oh, The Hook Man. There
he goes. The Black Eyed Kids. I haven't delved into a story of the Black Eyed Kids yet. I'm trying to put on my Brave Girl panties before I do
that. Did I torture you with The Hook Man?
You did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the first time we went to the graveyard.
Did I pretend to like run a hook across the truck or something?
No, but you, as we were going to the graveyard, you said, "Well, what if the hook man comes?"
Well, yeah, you said you were going to lock me out of the truck and leave me in the dirt. You're going to take off.
I did not. We have it on recording.
Prove it.
I can. So the urban legend of the Hook Man is...
This is where we need that bullshit meter.
Bullshit, bullshit.
Warning, bullshit.
The urban legend of the Hook Man is a chilling tale that's been shared for decades, often told around campfires or during sleepovers to invoke a sense of fear and suspense. The story typically goes as follows. On a dark and desolate night.
On a dark. Oh.
What were you thinking? Did you have a song pop in your head?
Yeah. Hotel California.
On a dark desert highway.
Cool wind in my hand.
We love to break out in song. Sorry, guys. That's yeah, just
I'll
us.
I'll cut that out, though, because that was pretty bad.
No, I think it was just perfect. On, no, I want to sing it again. On a dark and desolate night, a young couple decided to park their car in a secluded area, seeking privacy and romance away from the prying eyes.
Well, I wonder what they were up to.
They had a little boom chicka wow wow on their mind. What did they call that back in the days? Neckin'?
Neckin'.
They went neckin'.
Yeah, they went neckin'.
On make out hill.
Point.
Make out point. There you go. They found a quiet spot deep in the woods, unaware of the terrifying events that were about to unfold. Well, that was their problem. They went deep into the woods by themselves. They should have found makeout point, because then there would have been cars all over the place, and you know they're all too busy making out to pay attention to what you're doing. So
yeah.
As they sat together in the car,
maybe they wanted to do some investigating beforehand.
Maybe. So as they sat together in the car enjoying each other's company,
yeah, air quotes, company.
A news report blared over the radio. The reporter warned, breaking news, a deranged serial killer known as the Hook Man has recently escaped from a nearby mental institution.
A menstrual institution?
Yeah. Totally. That's why he was so pissed off.
His right came loose.
I'm dying. I can't breathe. Oh, my gosh. The killer was described as a disturbed individual.
Of course he was. His rig's hanging out.
My eyes are watering so bad I can't even see my script. That was good. Whew. So as I was saying, the killer was described as a disturbed individual with a hook for a hand, preying on unsuspecting victims in the area. Feeling a slight unease, the couple decided it was best to leave and find a safer location. Probably smart.
Yeah, good plan.
As they drove away, the girl noticed a strange scraping sound coming from outside of the car. Ooh, good job. Alarmed, she turned to her boyfriend and insisted that they investigate.
Who dat?
No, girl. You run. Reluctantly, the young man stepped outside of the car, armed with only a flashlight, to see what was causing the noise. The girl waited anxiously, clutching onto her fear. Minutes passed, but her boyfriend did not return.
Uh-oh.
Growing more fearful, the girl heard a faint tapping on the roof of the car. Trembling with terror, she realized it was the sound of the metal hook scratching against the car's exterior. Panic consumed her as she desperately turned the key in the ignition, trying to start the car. Miraculously, as the engine roared to life, the girl sped away, frantically glancing into the rearview mirror. Her heart pounded in her chest as she caught a glimpse of a shadowy figure standing by the side of the road.
See, she left her boyfriend behind, too. I mean, women, I tell you.
Well, you're my husband. I can't leave you behind. It's the difference of that piece of paper. It was the Hook Man, his gleaming hook raised high above his head. First off, girl, why did you make your boy go out and investigate? You both could have sped away together safely.
Yeah,
second of all,
men are dumb.
I mean, who wrote this urban legend? Because the car never starts.
Yeah.
You got to sit there and you got to pump the gas and, you know, keep turning the key. And then it fires.
And the hook man is supposed to take the dude right out of the top of the roof of the car. You know, he's supposed to beat down through the roof and grab him and pull him up.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of movie is that? It's kind of boring.
So this chilling urban legend serves as another cautionary tale warning young couples about the dangers of secluded areas and the potential threats that may lurk in the darkness if you're doing a little baum chicka wow wow in the woods.
Yeah, see, that story was created by some pastor that had a daughter. Like, don't you do it.
That's right. So while the Hook Man is a fictional story, or is it?
Or is it?
It taps into the primal fears and reinforces the importance of personal safety and being aware of someone's...
Every story has a beginning and an end.
Exactly. And being aware of one's surroundings, it serves as a reminder to trust one's instincts, be cautious in an unfamiliar situation, and never underestimate the potential dangers that may exist just beyond the comfort of familiarity. So don't get out of the car.
Don't get out of the car.
Be like Resurrection Mary. She gone.
She gone.
Speaking of Resurrection Mary, the next one is called The Vanishing Hitchhiker.
Oh boy.
So this one is kind of where, you know, this kind of plays into Resurrection Mary a little bit.
Kind of the woman in white type of story.
The urban legend of the vanishing hitchhiker is a classic tale that's been shared across generations, captivating listeners with its eerie twists and haunting encounters. The story typically unfolds as follows. Late at night, a weary driver is cruising along a deserted road when they spot a young woman standing on the side of the highway, thumb extended in a gesture of hitchhiking. Taking pity on her, the driver pulls over and offers her a ride. The woman accepts with a soft smile, getting into the car and providing directions to her destination. As they drive, a sense of unease creeps over the driver. The hitchhiker seems quiet and distant, her face shrouded in melancholy. In an attempt to break the silence, the driver engages her in conversation, but she only offers vague responses.
I mean, not everybody can be a social butterfly. Jeez.
That is true. As they approach the destination, the driver turns to speak to the hitchhiker again. But to their astonishment, she has vanished from the back seat.
Where'd she go?
She gone.
She gone.
Confused and startled, the driver searches the car, but there's no trace of the woman.
Hey, look under the seat. Maybe she's under there.
Right? I mean, how big is this car that you can't just physically turn around and see? And why was she in the back seat? It's not like it was a taxi. I mean, isn't that a little awkward?
Creepy.
Puzzled, they continue on to the given address. Upon arriving, the driver approaches the door, hoping to find answers. They are met by a grieving family who, upon seeing the driver's confusion, ask if they picked up their deceased daughter, who had tragically perished in a car accident years before on that same very road.
So they're all just standing out on the stoop of the property waiting for somebody to show up.
Must happen often.
Hey, how you doing? You must have seen our daughter. Welcome to our place.
Realize,
you want a tour?
Was there a picture on the piano of her? Realizing the supernatural encounter they just experienced, the driver realized that they had encountered the ghost of the vanishing hitchhiker, destined to forever roam the lonely road, seeking a ride to her eternal resting place.
Oh, boy.
The story of the vanishing hitchhiker plays on the themes of ghostly apparitions, unfilled destinies, and the eerie nature of encounters on deserted roads. It has been told in various interactions across different cultures, often serving as another cautionary tale about the dangers of interacting with mysterious strangers or the potential for supernatural occurrences.
Damn.
So it serves a chilling reminder to travelers to be wary of unexpected encounters and the mysteries that may await them on a dark, desolate road. On a dark, desert highway. So the next one we have is the Choking Doberman. The urban legend of the Choking Doberman is a spine-tingling tale that has been shared to warn pet owners about the potential dangers lurking in their own homes.
Don't give them chicken bones.
The story goes as follows. In a quiet suburban neighborhood, a couple decides to go out for the evening, leaving their faithful Doberman Pinscher to guard the house. Is it Pinscher or Pincher?
I think Pinscher.
Pinscher?
Yeah.
Before leaving, they ensure that all the doors and the windows are securely locked. As the night progresses, the couple enjoys their time away, oblivious to the eerie events unfolding at home. Unbeknownst to them, an intruder has managed to break into the house and is now moving stealthily through the rooms.
Like a cheetah.
Like a cheetah. Meanwhile, inside the house, the Doberman senses the presence of the intruder and becomes increasingly agitated. With its keen senses, the dog can hear the intruder's every move. Growling and barking, the Doberman charges at the unseen intruder, determined to protect its territory. However, as the confrontation intensifies, the dog suddenly goes silent. Alarmed by the abrupt change in behavior, upon arriving home, they find their Doberman lying lifeless on the floor, motionless. Panic-stricken, they search the house, but there is no sign of the intruder. Confused and devastated, they contact the police to report the break-in and the tragic fate of their beloved pet. The police conduct a thorough investigation and make a startling discovery. In a hidden room behind a bookshelf, they find the intruder's lifeless body, still clutching a knife.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
Plot twist. It becomes apparent that the intruder had entered the home with a malicious intent, and in the struggle with the courageous Doberman, he had inadvertently stabbed the dog, leading partly to its untimely demise. The other cause was soon discovered when they noticed fingers missing on the intruder's bloodied hand. The dog had choked on the intruder's fingers.
See, that's why you don't eat fingers.
That's exactly, yeah, I mean, they're dangerous. It's kind of like chicken bones.
Yeah, hot dogs.
Or, I guess, long pig.
Long pig. Fingers.
So, the Choking Doberman urban legend. Maybe he should have had a little, some condiments with it. It would have went down easier.
Catsup and mustard.
Catsup and mustard. I hate when people say catsup.
Catsup.
Sorry if anybody says it out there, but drives me crazy. But this is another tale warning homeowners to be wary of potential dangers lurking in their own homes.
This is a story created by alarm system salesman.
Yes.
Buy an alarm system, you'll be safe. Your dog will never choke.
You need Ring. Ring will change your life.
Hoo-yah.
It emphasizes the loyalty and protective nature of pets as well as the risks of confrontations with intruders. The story plays on people's fears of home invasions and the potential harm that can befall on humans and their beloved animal companions.
I don't think our dogs would have any issues with fingers. I mean,
they
can swallow a whole couch whole. So I'm pretty sure they'd be fine.
Yes, they could. I was going to say they would probably just lick him to death anyway.
Well, yeah.
The intruder be like, stop licking me. And they can't take it anymore. And they go running out of the house.
Choke on his own fingers.
Bulldogs have very large tongues and they love to lick. Incessively. So the next one is the killer in the backseat. The urban legend of the killer in the backseat is a chilling tale that's been shared as a warning to individuals about potential dangers they may face while driving alone
at
night.
Pick up hitchhikers.
Well, that too. The story goes as follows. Late one evening, a woman is driving alone on a dark, desolate road. I just snorted.
It's like an Eagles album over here.
Right? I can't say it without singing it in my head. Maybe I had Eagles, you know, like on the brain when I wrote this. As she continues her journey, she begins to feel uneasy, sensing that she's being followed. She glances into a rearview mirror and catches a glimpse of a car tailing closely behind her. Growing increasingly frightened, she tries to lose the pursuing vehicle by speeding up, taking sudden turns, and changing lanes. However, no matter what she does, the car remains in close pursuit, and its headlights are piercing in the darkness. Panic and desperate, the woman continues driving until she reaches a gas station. She quickly exits her car and rushes inside, seeking help from the gas station attendant. Breathlessly, she explains the situation, detailing the car that's been following her. Concerned, the gas station attendant accompanies the woman outside to investigate. As they approach her car, they find a terrifying sight. A man is crouched down in the back seat, holding a sharp weapon ready to attack. He'd been hiding in her car all along, waiting for the right moment to strike.
Yeah, and it wasn't actually headlights. It was pasties.
Pasties?
Yeah, he had pasties on with tassels that would spin. So it looked like headlights in the following her.
Flashing.
Yeah. That's what it was. I'm sure of it.
Frightened and relieved, the woman realizes that the car behind her was not following her at all.
See? I told you.
It was the gas station attendant from previous when she's before.
She needs a lot of gas.
Well, she'd stopped previous to fill up her car.
Oh.
And it's assumed that either the guy was in her car at that time or had gotten into her car at that time. But the person at the previous gas station noticed it.
And went after her.
To warn her of the danger lurking in her vehicle.
Good thing she wasn't driving in, like, Utah. She wouldn't have seen another gas station for 300 miles.
Right. So she sought out a different gas station to try to detour this person that was following her. So the killer in the back seat is an urban legend that serves to remind individuals to stay vigilant and aware of their surroundings, particularly when driving alone. It taps into the fear of being pursued, the vulnerability of driving at night, and the potential dangers that may be lurking just out of sight. So I don't ever get into a vehicle. I guess I don't do it so much during the day, which probably isn't a very smart thing.
Well,
but at night, you
would probably notice somebody sitting in there in the daytime.
Yeah. But I guess usually during the day, I'm like going into like to stores and stuff. Or, you know, in and out of clients' homes, so I'm seeing my back seat.
Right.
But at night, like if I'm doing one of our commercial locations, I walk around the car. I check the front, the back, the, you know, everything before I get into the car.
But it's a good plan.
Yeah.
I don't, but
the other thing I do is I always make sure. Like if I come to a stop and like I do this during the day too, like let's say I'm going to stop and have lunch somewhere and I'll, you know, eat in the car or whatever. When you turn your car off or put it in park, it unlocks the doors automatically. So I always lock my doors because usually I'm like watching a video or on my phone or something while I'm eating my lunch and I'm not paying attention to my surroundings.
Yeah, I mean, I do that too if I decide to take a nap in the car before I clean.
We are busy people. We don't sleep much. So we eat our meals on the fly, sleep in the car in between jobs.
Go, go, go. And then we decide to start a podcast because that will give us more time for sure.
But we love it. And we love taking this time to make all these stories for you guys.
Yeah, I love not sleeping. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it's the best thing I could have ever thought of doing. I mean, fantabulous.
I love the podcasting part of it. I'd hope someday that we can spend more time doing it and less time doing our real jobs.
That would be nice.
Very nice.
I mean, I would be all for that one, especially if I could just like sit here and fly my drone around the office. That'd be kind of cool. You know, I could record us while flying the drone.
Oh, there you go.
Can't promise I wouldn't fly it into your head because I've already flown it into a tree.
We have a replacement on the way.
But I bet you we could get some good shots if I didn't kill us.
I think you have to get the one that it's better to fly inside because it's got like the cage around it.
Yeah.
So then it protects the propellers from taking out my eyeballs.
I guess all I'd really need to do is just do the hover mode and then
just move the camera.
Yeah, just move the camera around.
There you go.
That's a thought, people.
So the next one is the licked hand. And I'd never heard this one, and this one is kind of creepy. The story of the licked hand is a chilling urban tale that has been passed down for generations, and here's how it goes.
I've never heard of it.
Late one night, a young girl named Lisa was home alone with her faithful dog, Max. Mm. As she was getting ready for bed, she heard a strange dripping sound coming from the bathroom. The sound unnerved her, and she felt a bit uneasy being alone in the house. To calm her nerves, she reached down and let Max lick her hand, finding comfort in his presence. So she likes the licking. She needs a bulldog.
We got two.
As she lay in bed, the dripping sound persisted, growing louder and more persistent. Feeling uneasy, Lisa decided to investigate. She got out of bed and made her way to the bathroom. With Max following closely behind her, as she turned on the light, she was horrified by what she saw. There in the bathtub was Max, hanging from the shower head. The dripping sound was the sound of his blood dripping on the bathroom floor.
Who was licking her hand?
Shocked and terrified, Lisa realized that the comforting sensation of her hand being licked earlier hadn't come from Max. It had come from an unknown source lurking somewhere in the house. And the realization sent shivers down her spine as she wondered who and what had been with her all along.
Oh, boy.
So this person is laying like next to her bed, licks her hand. And then she says that she thought Max followed her to the bathroom. So he must have been right behind her. But people, don't put your hand down to some unknown area. Cover your feet when you sleep at night.
See, now I'm picturing that little girl that crawls out of the well. I can't remember
the name of the ring. What is her name?
I don't know, but she's a scary ass person. And yeah, I think that's what it was. She was up there licking her hand.
It starts with an S. Oh my God.
Samaya.
Samaya. I think that's right. Let me Google it quick.
I don't know, but yeah, that's what I'm picturing right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, the ring girl licking her hand. I'm going to have nightmares. Thanks, Tracy.
Samara.
Samara.
Yeah, no. Ew. I didn't even think. I just thought of like a burglar. I didn't think of like an actual. Now I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
You're welcome.
Well, at least our bed has those this motion lights, so if something's under there, the lights are going to turn on.
Well, that will make you feel loads better. You'd be laying there, and all of a sudden your bed lights go on. See Samara come up on it, under the bed, dripping wet.
Oh, come on.
Licking your hand.
No. Do you know how many times at night I wake up to one of our dogs? Like,
she's kind of got that black eye thing going, too.
Yeah, she does.
Whoa.
I mean, I get woke up many times at night to one of the dogs, one or the other, Maisie or Harley, licking me.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to wake up in a panic like, thanks, baby.
Yeah,
I'm going to sleep so well tonight.
You're welcome. Glad I can help.
We might not be able to work these alternating shifts anymore. I will not feel safe. The dogs won't protect me. So anyway, I'm also going to touch base on a few urban legends for millennials and Gen Z. I was curious on how they evolve over time, so I thought it would be interesting to compare them. There are several urban legends that have emerged within the millennial culture, and here are a few examples. So the millennials have the Slender Man. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes. And didn't we have him too, though, kind of?
I think it came after our time because, and I'm talking like our teenage years, we might have had a character similar to him, but the Slender Man was, he...
No, I think those millennials stole it. I really do.
Well, the only reason I say this is because there was an internet contest, and I think it was on Creepypasta, where they were asking people to draw horror characters, and there was a guy who won the contest because he drew the Slender Man.
Yeah.
And so out of that contest or whatever, this legend occurred. So I think there might have been something similar in our era. But this Slender Man was all off of this drawing that this person did on Creepypasta.
Yeah, I'm going to say they stole it. I don't care.
He could have. I mean, I'm sure his idea had to come from somewhere.
Slender Man is ours, bitches. Peace.
So they do have, millennials also have the Hookman. They have what's called the Choking Game.
Okay.
This legend revolves around a dangerous activity where individuals intentionally cut off their oxygen supply to achieve a brief high or euphoric sensation.
Okay, that was stolen too.
I remember
doing that. We did that.
I remember doing that too. Which,
except back in our day, they were considered wrestling moves. It was the sleeper hold.
Well, and that was, I remember doing that and light as a feather.
Yeah, where you'd hold your breath and then they'd pick you up in the midsection. And
yeah, by the two fingers or whatever, light as a feather, stiff as a board. You'd have people all around you. They'd take two fingers and everybody was supposed to lift you up as they're chanting that.
Yeah, I do remember something like that.
Bloody Mary. Which I think was our generation,
my
too.
My friends would have just dropped me.
Oh, they would not have. So Bloody Mary, the popular urban legend among millennials, which I would say that even goes back to the boomers.
Yeah. Definitely.
That one's been around for a long time. It involves standing in front of a mirror, usually in a dark bathroom, and chanting Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Three times.
Bloody Mary.
Don't say it again.
Bloody Mary.
You said it. It's like saying Beetlejuice three times.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Baby, what are you summoning to our recording studio?
Beetlejuice would be cool. We could interview him.
He would cause all sorts of problems.
No.
Yes. And he would not be helpful. It's a good thing we don't have a mirror in here, because otherwise we'd be screwed. Bloody Mary's
computer screen.
It's not a mirror.
Kind of.
No.
You can see my reflection in it.
Stop.
I'm not scared.
I'm not going to come out here and edit by myself anymore.
I'm not scared.
I am. So you'll say her name three times. It's believed that the ghostly figure of Bloody Mary will appear or haunt the person who summons her. My least favorite in the entire world, and I don't know why this urban legend scares the ever-living shit out of me. Take a guess.
Black Eyed Kids.
Yep.
I knew it was going to come. I knew it was coming up.
And I will do a story on them at one point. Maybe you'll do it for a Halloween special or something.
You just say their names around Tracy.
Oh, and it gives me goosebumps. There's nothing creepier than kids, like haunted kids as it is, or ghost kids. And
she said, "You said that one more time, I'm gonna divorce you."
I did. I've never threatened divorce before either. This is an urban legend that tells of encounters with eerie children with completely black eyes who approach individuals and request entry into their homes or vehicles. It's said that interacting with these children can bring about a sense of intense fear and unease. And I've also heard that people who have interacted with black-eyed children have had health issues afterwards as well.
Yeah, and I've also heard that there have been kids going around imitating black-eyed kids.
I believe it, because you've got those contacts that you can black out your eyes.
Yeah, and causing mayhem.
Well, kind of like, oh, we haven't done, I guess I can't say it, we haven't done Wrinkles the Clown yet. There's a similarity to that, too, with somebody posing as, like, being Wrinkles and what.
Yeah.
Can't tell you too much. That story's coming up.
It's coming up.
It is. Gen Z. What does the Gen Zers have? They have the Momo challenge.
They have the iPhone. They have the Samsung. You never can see their faces. They don't really exist. They're just a computer screen.
They're just faceless behind the screen.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of the Momo challenge?
Mm-mm.
So this urban legend involves a creepy character named Momo who allegedly sends disturbing messages and challenges to young people through social media platforms. The legend claims that Momo encourages self-harm and dangerous activities. And it's worth noting that while the Momo challenge gained significant media attention, there's very little evidence to support its existence as a widespread phenomena. No, I can't.
Phenomena.
I can't think of the tune for that now.
I can't either.
Oh my gosh, we lost it.
Uh-oh, we lost our mojo.
We lost our Muppets mojo. The Blue Whale Game. Have you heard of that one?
Nope.
Me either. Well, until I did the story.
All their theories are all internet related.
They are. I bring that up at the end here.
The internet boogeyman.
Ours are all like, you know, things that you like conjure in your mind.
No,
or
we had to go out and play.
Right. We had to be in the woods. We had
get
to,
out of the
you
house.
Know, we were out driving around at night. All of theirs, they do include like internet or some kind of device. So the Blue Whale Game is an urban legend revolved around an online game in which participants are assigned a series of escalating challenges that culminate in completing a final task, suicide, which is sick as hell.
That sounds like a fun game.
Right? Let's play until we have to kill ourselves. The legend suggests that a group admin manipulates and controls vulnerable individuals. However, similar to the Momo challenge, there is limited evidence to substantiate whether this was a widespread occurrence or not. And this one, again, revolves around something on the internet, the ghostly social media presence. In this legend, it involves the idea that deceased individuals continue to interact on social media platforms, leaving behind mysterious posts, messages, or friend requests. It taps into the fascination with the digital afterlife and blurs the line between the living and the dead in the virtual realm. No, people, those are called hackers. Or what's the other thing that when people try to like hijack your account and stuff?
Fishing?
No, like you'll get messages from your friends that say, hey, check out this video I found of you. What are those people called? Were they... They're not hackers, but they try to
social, I don't know, engineering type of thing.
Well, like the people from foreign countries that like try to take over your account and they lock you out of your account. And why is the word evading me?
I don't know.
So basically when people are like, you know, they'll get in there, they'll change your password, you can't get in. And then they'll like pretend to be you, send messages out with links that give everybody viruses. Or gives them access to your email contact list. And I can't think of what the heck they're called right now. I'm having a brain fart. That's what we get for recording so late. All right. The next one is the cursed videos. This legend suggests that certain videos often found online or shared among friends carry a curse that brings misfortune or even death to those who watch them. These videos are said to contain disturbing or supernatural content that haunts viewers.
Kind of like subliminal messages.
Yes, yes. So
kind of like...
Or kind of...
Black Sabbath album, put it in reverse.
Yeah, or wasn't there something with... I think there was actually a movie in regards to this. I keep thinking of Samara coming out of the TV. But I remember there being a movie or something of these people sharing this video... And one by one, in the order that they watched this video, they all started like just mysteriously dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a ghost or something paranormal came after them.
That's kind of always been kind of a thing, you know, even way back as far as, you know, when we were kids.
Oh, definitely. So. And the last one for Gen Z again is another internet one. It's the Haunted Game, which is on the Creepypasta. Creepypastas are internet horror stories that often revolve around video games. I worded that really wrong. Creepypastas are, it's a website that people go out there and they write creepy stories. Some of the stories are supposedly true. Some are just fictional. But there's a creepypasta that there's tales of a haunted game cartridge, glitches, or eerie experiences while playing popular video games. These stories have gained popularity among Gen Z and have even inspired online communities dedicated to sharing and discussing them.
Yeah. I could see that, that becoming a thing because, you know, some gamer will get nixed on a game and he'd be like, that was the frickin' gremlins did that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have died otherwise. You couldn't beat me.
Well, and I don't know why, but that one makes me think of that backroom theory where people get lost in like an alternate reality type thing. They don't really say that, but for some reason that makes me think of the backroom theory. So I wonder if there's something in relation to that. But I did look into the top urban legends for the boomer generation as well. And they were basically the same as ours, the Gen Xers, with the exception of the following. Walt Disney's frozen body. This urban legend suggests that Walt Disney's body was cryogenically frozen after his death and hidden somewhere in Disneyland. The legend adds a mysterious and supernatural element to the legacy of the famous entrepreneur and animator. What's your favorite urban legend that I did not cover?
Yeah, let us know. Tell us.
Yeah. Do you have one?
I don't have any.
You don't have any?
No.
Well, then that's our episode for today. Do you have any news that we need to share or anything?
I don't think so.
No?
No. Sorry. I did get my new drone.
Oh, yes.
That came in the mail on Thursday, I think it was.
Oh, don't crash it while I'm gone.
Can't promise anything.
So I'm going to Vegas for a week with my sister. And Jeremy has decided that he is going to be on a...
red meat diet.
He wants a different steak
every day. That was my terms and conditions.
So I prepped and I made him at least a side salad so he could have some kind of other sustenance other than steak. But I think he's pretty excited. He did that when I went to Myrtle Beach on a girls' trip, too.
I'm gonna love it.
And we're just moving forward on getting the haunted house done and the yard decorated for all the kitties. We had quite a few people coming by this weekend.
A lot of gawkers.
A lot of excited kids. It's really fun to see that. It made it well worth it after how many days of rain did we have?
About five.
Oh,
and it was a lot of rain. We got almost 10 inches of rain.
So much rain.
In those 5 days.
Luckily, we have air movers so we could get them moving through the haunted house and
dry everything out.
Yes. And the other thing that we did today was some, you know, last minute fixes on some stuff that got blown over and broken, which is always sad when that happens.
Finish some of the walls inside of the haunted spooky maze.
Yes, I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be creeptacular.
And we'll make sure we post videos and stuff. I don't think we'll be able to take the drone through there, but we'll walk through and take some video with our phones and whatnot. It'll be really, really cool. I'm thinking it'll be bigger. Well, it's already going to be bigger than last year because we added to it. So yeah,
we got a whole nother section of maze.
Yeah, which we had to reconfigure and trying to figure out how to get everybody to end where they go in so they don't have to walk through the backside of the yard.
Yep. So kind of in the middle of the maze now, we got a tiny little path that they have to go through, and there'll be all kinds of hanging stuff that they have to kind of crawl through.
It'll be really cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be spooky. Spooky chamber, yeah. Well, all right, people. I guess we're going to take off here. If any of you guys have any stories for us.
Yes, we need listener stories.
Yeah, please share.
And we also, out on all of the socials, I started doing a progressive story that we need you guys to add to so we can read that on an episode too.
That would be way cool.
So I started the story and y'all need to try to add to it and finish it.
Let's get her done.
Yes, get it done.
Get her done.
But other than that, keep on creeping on, mother cluckers.
Later.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us here at Total Conundrum. Please make sure to check out our website and blog at totalconundrum.com for news, upcoming events, merch, bloopers, and additional hysteria. You never know what will pop up, so be sure to follow along. If you want to show your support for Total Conundrum and gain access to all of our bonus content, please visit our Patreon page. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The links are available in our show notes. If you have any questions, comments, recommendations, or stories to share, please email us at contact@totalconundrum.com. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate the love. Keep on creeping on, mother cluckers.